Today I wanted to wear work clothes. I was going to wear my big rubber boots. Because I'm praying.
You got it.
That God makes a mess of our hearts. Today we're going to talk about revival. I got to stay away from the parameters of the thing and stay away from speaking nothing else too. But today we're going to talk about revival. You know, I hear a lot of people that are praying for revival. And we live in a nation right now that needs a revival.
Amen.
But today we're going to talk about a revival. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come into your presence today, Father God. And Lord, we ask that you would just trash our hearts. Trash our hearts, Father God, for your word, for your purpose, for your calling, for your will in our lives. Father, that you would pour us out today of everything who we thought we were. Because without you, Father, we are nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. And without you, our nation is nothing. And we see every day is our nation, the United States of America, that was founded on your principles, that was blessed by your word and your faithfulness. We see our nation is in turmoil. Our nation is hurting. It is spiritually dying. And without you, Father God, without your movement, we are going to perish. People are going to perish. Now, Father, I pray over our team who's on a mission trip right now. Father, they are a team of men, women, and children that are on fire for you. I pray right now that the revival that you have placed within them will be spread to the community of those who surround them. We ask your blessing upon them right now in the name of Jesus. That I'm sure that they're singing or sitting around worshiping you, getting their morning ready, getting their morning started to do the things that you've called them to do. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray your blessing upon this message, that each and every one of us would just receive and be filled with your presence and your glory today. We pray over those in our community, our leaders, that their hearts would be open to allow you to minister to them, that every decision that they make would be made on your calling. We pray over those who are suffering from the coronavirus. We pray for healing in their bodies. That they would look to you and call to you for their help and for their healing. And that you would use this time just to minister to their spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Now this message is not just for this church. To some of you, it might not even be for you. Okay, yeah, it is. Because it's for every one of us. I forget everybody sitting over there, and I'm so used to leaning out here. This message is for each and every one of us. Every person within the sound of my voice, today, tomorrow, and the next day, here in person or on social media, this message is for each one of us. Because I truly believe that this message is what we as the body of Christ need to hear. As I've been preparing this message and going over it, I have a family member that lives far away and I haven't seen for a long time. And she sent me a message yesterday. Just wanting me to know that what God has been placing on my heart, God has been placing on the hearts of the pastors across our country, even in the state that she lives in. And then this morning, and my brother here gives me some scriptures that God put on his heart that lines up with this message. So I pray that each and every one of us, whether it's here on Facebook land or Instagram land or Twitter land, wherever this is shared, that we'll all realize where we stand today, where our country stands today, and that we're speaking today of the Word of God. And the Word of God is living. It is alive. It is powerful. And all we have to do is open our hearts and open our minds and say, Lord, use me. And we will see God move in our areas, in our communities, in our homes, in our nation in a mighty way. Our nation is not lost. It's blinded. It's blinded about what truth is. It's blinded about who God is. They're blinded by the lie of the enemy. But we're blessed today as the children of God that God cares enough, even for those who are unlovable, to put somebody just like me, somebody just like you, to change their world. As I went this week to Wally World, I'm getting ready to get in line at the cash register, and I look around and I thought to myself, I said, where are the evangelists? Where are we? What happened? Why is the church not preaching on the streets anymore? Why is the church not standing in front of Planned Parenthood no more? Why is the church not standing up against people living together out of wedlock? And God revealed to me that the church has become numb to sin outside the walls of the building. So why the message of revival? Because I think we, the church, need a revival.
Amen. Amen.
I hear pastors all the time praying for God to bring revival in our community, in our land. But we're not leaving the church. God's not going to bring forth the revival the way that they're praying for it. The revival has to start inside the hearts of the body. We are the carriers of the revival. Revival has to start here before it can happen out there. God wants to use the church to bring forth revival. The revival is us expressing what God is doing inside the hearts of each and every believer. When we become a revivalist,
amen,
because God revived us, then we carry forth that calling. We carry forth that revival into a broken nation. That's how it's going to happen. The church expects God to move. But ask yourself this question. What if God expects the church to move?
Yep.
As Pastor Steve would say, hello.
Amen.
What if, instead of us expecting God to move, what if God actually expects the church to move?
Amen.
Do you think that might just be a little possibility of why our country is in the shape it is in today?
Amen.
Because the church is expecting God to do what God expects the church to do. Come on, my favorite scripture, y'all know it. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So are we putting Christ in a box? Saying that he can only work here on the grounds of a church and not out there on the aisleways of Walmart or on the streets in front of Planned Parenthood or down at the beach at Mosquito Lake? So Psalms 85, verse 6. Will you not revive us again? That your people may rejoice in you. We pray for revival to happen, but before it can happen, it has to happen in here. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the body of Christ. Do you remember the day that revival hit your soul? Do you remember the day that you were a sinner that was dying, condemned to hell, and because somebody came to you and carried the message of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, like that, the heavy weight of sin was released from you. You felt the burden released, and you were light, and you felt, come on now, you felt like you were invincible. Why? Because you had an experience with the living God. Guess what? That was revival. Your body, your soul was revived. Let me rephrase that. Your body wasn't, because it's still dying. For a moment it felt like it was. But your soul was revived. It was no longer dying. It was no longer condemned to hell by being submerged in sin. Somebody brought revival to you. God didn't come down and say, Jason, you need to dot, 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 and get rid of dot, 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 dot. That didn't happen to me. I didn't hear the audible voice of God. God sent somebody to me.
Amen.
He sent a warrior to me. Somebody who wasn't afraid of the enemy. Somebody who wasn't afraid of the filthy sin that I was swimming in, that it might wash off and contaminate them. No. They weren't worried that if I had a disease, all they were worried about was my soul was condemned to hell, and that God loved me so much that He considered them trustworthy to come to me and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to lay hands on me, and to pray on me, knowing that the demonic state that I was in was going to come out. Not afraid that it was going to hitch onto them, because they had confidence in who they were. They were the children of God, because revival had touched them, and they were bringing forth revival to me. The psalmist cries out, Lord, revive us. Revive your people. I think the church today of America have lost the fire of revival. I'm not saying everybody's going to hell. I'm saying we become complacent to what our purpose is. God revived us so that we can bring revival to other people. The psalmist cries out first, Lord. Lord. He didn't say, Lord, revive Jerusalem. He didn't say, Lord, revive Palestine. No. He says, revive us. Revive us. Revival has to start inside of each and every one of us. We as the church need to experience again the dramatic inward change of God stirring up what's inside of us. If you're a Christian, we have the power, the dunamis, the explosive power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible for my God. I truly believe that if I am doing what God calls me to do, and I'm going on record for this, if God calls me, if I hear the voice of God saying to go lay hands on somebody with the corona and to pray for them,
that he wants to heal them, if I walk over there out of obedience to God and I lay hands on a person, that corona ain't got a chance.
That's right.
It ain't coming upon me.
That's right.
Why? Because I'm being obedient to what God called me to do. They walked, believe this or not, they walked and laid hands on people with diseases a lot worse than the corona. Leprosy? Leprosy didn't jump on them. Because they're fulfilling the calling of God. Why? Because they had the fire burning inside of them.
Amen.
They knew their purpose. They knew who they were as a child of God. They knew who the authority was given by. They knew what power was backing up their obedience.
Amen.
It's time the church quits worrying about politics, quits worrying about doing things the way that society says we should do them. It's time the church starts worrying about what God says we need to be doing.
Amen.
If you're walking through the hallways or the aisles of Walmart, start praying to God. Say, God, I'm here. Use me. And if God shows you somebody, don't be afraid to pray for them. If God tells you to share a word, hey, don't be afraid. Stand at the aisles and start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God tells you to do something, you have the power of the Holy Spirit backing you up.
Amen.
And if God has not been telling you to do anything, this message is for you. This message is for us. Matthew 3:11. He is far greater than I am. So great that I am not worthy to carry his shoes, John says. Now I want you to imagine something right now. In order for revival to happen inside of our hearts, inside of this vessel, we have to become humble. We have to become humble. That means that it is no longer about what I think we should do. We need to become humble that we are on our knees and say, God, what should we do? What should I do? It's no longer about what I think is right. It's not wrong what I think is wrong. It's what you say is right. It's what you say is wrong. And I think as America, as society, we've lost our humility before God. We've lost our humility before God. The first step to revival is humbling ourselves. When somebody came up to me the first time, I was broken. I fell on my knees and I was crying. I said, God, forgive me. Everything that I thought I was, I learned that day that I wasn't. Why? Because I humbled myself before God, and God started to get rid of the junk that was inside of this body. We all got junk, right?
Amen.
Somebody agree with that. The only way we're going to get rid of it is we humble ourselves before God. If we want to see revival in Trumbull County, if we want to see revival in Ohio, if we want to see revival in the United States of America, then we got to humble ourselves and say, Lord, revive me again. Revive me again and kindle or ignite that fire that was inside of me. Anybody ever throw gasoline on a fire? Anybody ever throw a little too much gas on that fire before you lit? I got to tell you this story. My wife and I are at Mosquito Lake. This has been a long time ago. I was in construction. And it rained for the whole week. People had straw all over the campsite. The whole ground was covered in straw. I couldn't find a dry piece of wood to start a fire, no matter how many skills I had. So I had my work truck there. So I grab a 5-gallon can of gasoline, and I dump a whole bunch of it. I must dump a half a gallon on this fire pit. And I soaked a stick in it, you know, so I could light the stick and throw it. You know how much I thought about half, how much a quart of gasoline will go woof, when it sits there for a while inside of a fire ring? Yeah, that whole property was on fire. This is a Mosquito Lake in the campground. I'm standing with fire around me. All the straw is ignited. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice. You need help? What is the chances that the park ranger would be standing behind me? Nope, I got this. I got a rake in my truck. I'll rake it all up into a fire and the thing, you know. But that's the kind of fire that we need to burn inside of us. We're so contagious. We're so contagious that we light everything around us on fire. It's possible. We do know that, right? We do know that it is possible to be so on fire for God, so contagious, that we ignite flames around everybody around us. Second thing we need to do is we need to pray. I know. I pray. Everybody in their car, everybody in TV land right now, or social media land, everybody's saying right now, I pray. And I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. But when have you been so hungry for God that you've pressed in to pray a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more? I went outside this morning, back in the back by the chicken coop, and David Rose is laughing right now. And I got my little chair out, and I had my cup of coffee, and I had my Bible, and I had my message, and I'm going back there, I'm just sitting back there under the pin oak tree, just early in the morning, it was like 6:30 in the morning, and I started going with my message, and I started to cry. And lots of things were happening this morning. And it's a picture of my niece. She died at the age of 16. Hey, Bill, if you turn it up, they can't hear back there. She died at the age of 16 in 2002, I think it was, 2006.
One more, Bill.
And so I typed a little happy birthday to her on Facebook. And I started to remember who she was. You know, that little 16-year-old girl, when she was younger than that, went to a church and got touched by God. She had the fire. And she kept inviting everybody in the family to come to church. We all grew up in church. We all went to church on and off as kids, but we never had a relationship with God. And she would invite us to church. And that girl is responsible for most of my family coming to know Jesus Christ, going to church, serving God. That little girl is responsible for my wife's parents coming back to Christ and serving God. You see, that little girl, before she died, had a fire inside of her that God placed to invite people to church. And she didn't take no for an answer. She came and she invited my wife and I to church. I said, you're out of your mind. I'm not going to Holy Roller Church. But Pastor Jason, but Uncle Jay, I know you'll like it. It's really cool. And I kept insisting that I wasn't going, And then one day, because she wasn't giving up, I went and I got touched by God. And I'm reminded, I put it on the thing this morning, that I am who I am today because of her. And when I stand behind a pulpit, when I start to preach the Word of God, it's only because God used a teenage girl that wouldn't take no for an answer.
Amen.
We need to pray. The disciples went into the upper room, and we've heard this scripture a lot over the last couple weeks between everybody talking. But they were up there for days, waiting. They weren't on Facebook. I don't believe they were playing board games or horseshoes or out worrying about where their next meal was going to come from. They wanted the promise of God. They wanted to see the movement of God, the promise of God. And they prayed and they worshiped and they prayed and they worshiped until God moved and they felt the fire of God fall upon them. How do I know? Because the Bible says that tongues of fire fell upon them. And what happens when we, the church, have the fire of God fall upon us? We become contagious. How do I know? I'm glad you asked. Because when they left the upper room, they preached Jesus. And thousands of people received. Let me rephrase that. Millions of people received. Well, you might say, well, that's not what the Bible says. You're right. Because the message is still going.
Amen. Amen.
Every one of you who are hearing this today are here because of the persistence of a couple disciples that said they weren't leaving, they weren't stopping until they experienced the presence of God in their lives. They experienced the fire of God, and you're here today because of that. John 5:19 out of the ESV. Y'all got me crying. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father do." Let me break that down in my translation. We are called to do what we see the Father do. We cannot be successful in our nation, in our town, in our country, unless we're doing what God did. What did God teach us to do? I'm glad you asked. Because that means you need to read your Bible. Because the Bible gives us an amazing illustration of how we are called to bring forth revival. Isaiah 58. Feed somebody that's hungry. Clothe somebody that's naked. Pray for somebody who's sick that they'll be healed. Help clear a pathway out for those who are traveling on rough ground. It's my second favorite scripture. That's why I know it all about what you got to do. And go and preach the gospel. But I'm not a preacher. It's not my job. Well, that's hogwash. I ain't a preacher either. Trust me. I'm just a child of God that God sent today, this Sunday, to preach Jesus. That's all I'm doing. Preaching Jesus. How do you know how to preach Jesus? Read your Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
Read your Bible. It's not always what comes out of my mouth, but sometimes it's what comes off my body. giving somebody something to eat. We better get moving, and it'll be here all day. I'm not even through page one yet. Just so you know. How about Philip with Eunuch? Come on, I gotta read it for time's sake. In Acts 8, 26 through 39. When's the last time that God said to go and overtake a chariot? Okay, unless you're living out by me in Amish community, you ain't gonna overtake a chariot. We got enough guys living in that community that could do that. But a chariot to us can be something in somebody's life that keeps them moving so fast in today's world that they're not hearing the gospel. But Philip, what happened? He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. And he says, what is keeping me from being baptized? Well, nothing. Let's go. I might even hold you down a couple extra seconds to wash off a little more filth. He didn't say that. I did say it to somebody that wanted to baptize me. I see you look on their face. I can only hold my breath for 30 seconds. We'll hold you down for 29.3. This is the rough part right here about preaching outside. Uh-oh, Pastor P's walking up. You guys are in trouble. Either that or I'm in trouble. Anyways, okay. So we talk about revival. We want revival, right?
Amen.
Come on now. We got one person wanting revival. All right. Matthew 9:20 through 23, Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes.
Amen.
I want all of you to hear this right now. Everything is possible for he who believes. The first thing we need to do before we can take revival to our cities, our communities, our nation, we need to be revived first. We need to realize, as children of God, if you're not a child of God, I want you to ask Christ into your heart right now and say, Lord, forgive me, because you're not going to be renewed for revival unless you're renewed to become a child of God. And say, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me for the sins that I've committed against you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and you rose again so that I can be saved. I ask now that you would wash away my sins. And I thank you, according to your word, that I am a child of God. And you pray that prayer until you feel the movement of God move in your heart. Because we got to remember, the first stage is humility. I can say anything I want, but if it's not coming from my heart, it's going to be a lip service.
Amen.
You pray that prayer. You cry out to God until you feel the movement of the Holy Spirit. Then you realize that the Bible says that as a child of God, that everything is possible for him who believes. But you don't understand how ugly it is out in that world. I understand I go out there every day. But you don't understand the corona is moving throughout our community. Yeah? So is leprosy. But you don't understand. I'll get in trouble for standing in the aisles of Walmart and preaching the gospel. Didn't stop the disciples. Didn't stop Jesus. Why? Because everything is possible for him who believes. We gotta have faith in the word of God. We gotta have faith in God's calling. Now let me back up here and just say one thing. If you do these things and God did not tell you to do them, God did not tell you to do that, you're in trouble. But if God did tell you to do that, if you heard God say, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, then you do it. End up in jail? Okay. End up in jail? That's fine. End up dying? Hey, you graduated. Congratulations.
Amen.
You get to meet Jesus face to face.
Amen.
I think that's the problem with a lot of Christians today. Is we want to live this Christian life, but we're really afraid to meet Jesus face to face. Because we lack the confidence, the boldness of the Holy Spirit. We get ourselves so consumed with what CNN and all the news media and all these people say that we kind of cower up, we get a little bit of fear in us, instead of relying on the truth, the Word of God. Mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquities, cleanse me from the inside, for I know my transgressions, my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Now, I want to stop here for a second, because I think a lot of times as believers in Christ, we think that we don't make mistakes no more. We think we kind of justify that it's okay what we do because grace abounds. Anybody ever been that way? We need to stand before God and be renewed and refreshed daily. When we make mistakes, we need to be acknowledge who what we're doing and humble enough to say, God, you know, I screwed up. I need to plead the blood of Jesus. I allowed myself to slip into this sin. And maybe, just maybe, this sin that is in my life has blocked me from hearing your voice, has kept me from doing what you called me to do. Maybe, just maybe, because my life is dry, because I haven't been evangelizing, because I haven't been preaching Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, there's something that I've let the spiritual wall build up. But I need you to tear it down. I plead the blood of Jesus. Father, forgive me.
Amen.
Today is a fresh start. Today is a new day. There's so many people in the church today that things happen to them in their past, and they allow that past to become a prison. They go to church every day, but they're not experiencing the movement of God because they can't let go of what happened. They can't forgive themselves, or they can't forgive others. Can I tell you that that is not how God wants us to live? That God can heal us from the inside. He needs to restore us because He wants to use us. All you have to do is humble yourself and acknowledge your need before God, and God will heal you. God will restore you. God will pull you up out of the miry pit and give you a purpose to live for.
Amen.
Don't think that it doesn't happen in the church. There's so many Christians today that are bound by their past, their present, that's keeping them from moving forward, for doing the things that God calls them to do. Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 3, it says, remember how the Lord God led you all the way. Hang on a second here. I want everybody to put your seatbelts on so you can't get out of here. Check your cars off, I mean. But get ready. This is for the church. Are we ready for this? This scripture hit me so bad this morning when I read this. Remember how the Lord your God led you. You ain't got to say it a lot, but just say me in your heart. Because this is going somewhere. All the way into the desert. These 40 years to humble you and to test you. In order to know what was in your heart.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying every difficult thing we go through is from God. But did we ever sit there and evaluate our life and wonder why things are a little difficult?
Come on.
Did we ever wonder why maybe America is in the circumstance it is today? That maybe God is allowing America to go through the desert so that God can humble us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Giving praise.
So that God can test our hearts? I'm going to say this. I'm going to get a lot of people angry. But when the corona first hit us, we listened to man and we shut everything down. Did we ever wonder if that was the right thing in America to do or the wrong thing? Because I'll tell you what, while we took a break, and this is not for just here, this is for the whole entire country. While we took a break, do you know who didn't take a break?
Satan.
The devil.
Amen.
While we were on vacation, the devil did not stop. And the devil took so much territory in America while we were on vacation. And I'm not blaming nobody. I fell into it myself. Do we ever think that what we're going through right now is to test our hearts to where we stand? Do we have enough faith in God?
Yes.
Do we have enough faith in God to continue to persevere and do whatever He calls us to do, no matter what the storm? When I was a kid, we had a charter business, and we were out in Lake Erie, and we had a 25-foot Renault cabin cruiser with a fly bridge, so we sat real high up in the air, and we had a charter that wanted to go out fishing. They were calling for, I don't even remember now, like 4 to 5, 4 to 6 or something like that. I don't remember what it was. It was a perfect storm, I'll tell you that. And so we told them that we weren't going to take the charter out because it was supposed to be bad. They're like, oh man, the lake is calling right now. It's only 1 to 2s. And we're like, nah, you know, it ain't worth it. And they said, come on, let's go out on this fishing charter. And if it gets bad, we'll come back. You know, you don't have to refund no money, even if we're out there for a half hour. They're going through the whole thing. So we took the charter out. And we got out there to where shore was barely visible. It looked like a set of clouds floating over the horizon. And guess what happened? The waves started to pick up. And as we were coming back at a trolling speed, because it's all the more you can do, we were going so far down the swells that the waves were coming over the fly bridge. We were completely submerged in the front of the boat. The bilge pumps were running full steam, plus buckets bailing out water. People were puking, vomiting all over the place. All the fishing poles were broke from people falling all over them. It was a mess. We were in the perfect storm to die. But we had to be persistent to get back to land. Somebody had to still hold the wheel so that we can make course for land. Somebody had to keep bailing water out of the boat because the bilge pumps couldn't keep up and we would have sunk. We had to persist through the perfect storm, and not one person died, yet they lost a lot of weight. Just maybe God is allowing America to go through this to humble us and test the church to see where the church stands. Are we going to fear man?
Yeah.
Or are we going to stand up for the Word of God?
Amen.
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 When we become like California and say you can't have church, you can't sing. Well, they said you can't sing. Now you can't have church. You can't even have a small group in your house. Are we going to quit preaching the gospel? Because I'll tell you right now. But the disciples didn't.
That's right.
They were being persecuted. And they said they had nothing to hold them on. But they told them that you are not to preach Jesus no more. And what they did, they do. They walked around the street corner and started preaching Jesus.
Amen.
Because we are supposed to obey man. Authority that God placed into position unless it contradicts the word of God. Let me tell you something. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says stop preaching the gospel. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says stop laying hands on the sick. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says stop feeding the hungry. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says to stop doing what God called you to do. You are a child of God. Mark 9:20-24, it stops and it says, I never finished in 24. It says, immediately the boy's father explained, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. As the church today, let that be the cry that no matter what the government says about our religion, about our faith, about our God, help me overcome my unbelief that I can stand in the midst of adversity, that I can lay hands on the sick, that I can preach the gospel. It don't matter what man says. It only matters what God says. If we're fearing what man will do, Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. If we fear what will happen on the streets because we see somebody that needs help, and we're in fear of that, Lord, help me with my unbelief.
Amen.
Because the Word of God says that we are supposed to do these things. Come on now, Luke 12:35-38. Keep your shirts on. Now, we're in church here, so I'm going to ask everybody to do that. Even though it's hot. Keep your shirts on. Keep the lights on. Be like a house servant waiting for the master to come back from his honeymoon. Awake and ready to open the door when he arrives and knocks. Luckily, the servant whom the master finds on watch, he'll put on an apron, sit them on the table, and serve them a meal, sharing in his wedding feast with them. It doesn't matter what time of night he arrives, they're awake and they're blessed. I think that was the message I copied down because I was going to put it in. I want you to realize something as the body of Christ. We got to keep that light burning inside of us. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn. We need revival in here so that we can take it out here. In order for revival to be in our community, we, as the children of God, first need to be revived. That's why we come here. That's why we come to church, to be filled. To be filled. To be filled.
Amen.
Why? So that we can take it out there, so that we can be in the church. We come in here to get ignited. It's like a fire. That fire is not burning until you throw flame on it, until you throw firewood on it. And the more wood you throw on it, the bigger and hotter that fire is. That's what we as the church need to be. And I'm standing on this side of the pulpit when I say this. We need to be renewed.
Amen.
Ignited. How do I know? Because our nation is on fire right now. It's not a fire from God. Our nation is on fire. What does that mean? That means we as the church have let our fire dwindle down to a kindled flame. You doing good, Roger? You just give me a sign when I got to stop because I'm only on page two. Okay. My apologies, I'm on page three. Again, we did this earlier in the message, but Psalms 85:6-9 says, will you not revive us again that your people, that's us, that's the followers of God, may rejoice in you? Revival depends on our actions. The church. Revival depends on what we're willing to do to be faithful to God. Jesus says, you will do greater things than I. He's done. Jesus did all he's going to do. He's finished. Finito. Now the body of Christ is called to bring forth the calling of God. It's our job to bring revival. It's my job, Jason. And I'll be the first one to say that I fit in this category probably more than most of you. Because I used to do these things on the street. And I allowed culture, I allowed society, I allowed the busyness of life to get me comfortable to where I'm at now. So I'm responsible. Me. First one that'll say it. I am responsible for what is going on in our country. And I need to ask God to forgive me and to renew me. Because them babies that are slaughtered every day is my fault. Because I didn't stand up. I wasn't the voice for the voiceless. For every drug addict that continues to struggle on the streets because nobody will show them that there's help, it's me. Because I quit going on the streets to let them know that there is hope. That what God did for me, He can do for you. Amen. So I hope that today the church will stand with me and take responsibility for what we allowed to happen. Because in Genesis, God says that He gave us, the church, the children of God, authority to subdue the things. It's our job. It was our job to dictate how our nation was going to move. Our country was built on Christian values. Therefore, it is our fault as the church that we allow our country to get to where it's at. And I ask God to forgive me. Because I gave up my voice, my authority. It's my fault. The children are taught in schools things that don't line up with God. Why? Because I wasn't a voice. I didn't get involved. Me, Jason. Told you I wanted to put my work clothes and my boots on. First Peter 5, we're going to close with this. I got more of it. I'm feeling pretty miserable right now. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6. All of you can clothe yourself with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God Almighty. Bob Pashley, he was a leader of the mentor group. It might have been after that. I think I might have even been a pastor by then. I don't even remember. So Bob was trying to stir up the church. Stir up the men. Ministry starts with men. I'm sorry. If you're a man, ministry starts with you. We're called to be the head. We're called to be the head. And so we're getting ready to leave this men's conference. I think it was a 3-day conference in Columbus, 2-day conference, whatever it was. And Bob comes up to me and he says, "Man, Jason," he said, "we're gonna get on the bus and we're gonna do a few things." And he said, "I'm gonna ask every man sitting on the inside aisle of the seats of the bus to move up one or two seats, so the people against the windows were staying there. That way, people would interact with people. They're always sitting in the same spot with the same people." And so we're heading home, and Bob does this. Nobody moved. Not one person. Not even me. because nobody else was moving, so I thought, well, why would I move? I like the person I was sitting next to. But if everybody else moved, then I was going to move. And Bob, he stood up and he pleaded with everybody to move. To mix with other people with the body of Christ. Babe, I might not sit next to you next week. You'll be on your own. Sit with somebody else. So anyways, he gets up there and he's pleading. He's pleading with people to sit next to somebody else. And I could see the tears roll up his eyes out of sorrow. We're men of God. We just went to a conference. Worship God. Praise God. And God put Bob in the leadership of the men's ministry. He was our leader. He was our authority figure. And we didn't do what he asked us to do. And he had more to it, but that was the start of it. So I go through the week, and God was just tearing me up inside. So we go to church. And I go up to Pastor Mark. Worship starts. The worship's going on. I said, Pastor Mark, I said, man, I got to do something. I'm sorry. I know you got to preach after the song, but can you do me a favor? I need all the men that were on the trip to meet me in the fireside room. I got to do something. Didn't ask me why. Didn't ask me what. He says, yeah. So worship is over, and he gets up their stage, and he says, if you were in the conference, I want everybody to raise their hand. They raise their hand. He goes, good. Stand up. Walk out of here. Go in the fireside room. Everybody comes in there. There's, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 men. I can't remember what it was. And I'm bawling. I'm broken down. I'm crying. Because I let a friend down, and I let God down. This is all about humility as a church. Because we're not perfect. And I got on my knees that day in that room. And I broke out and I just apologized. Because I let a man and I let God down. Because I worry more about people than obedience. It's called humility. Why do I share that with you today? As Christians, it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor. It doesn't matter who you are. When we make mistakes, and we have to be willing to make them right, especially when it's with God. Because you see, I went a whole entire week with that eating me inside. I wanted to call Bob up and say, Bob, I'm sorry. But God says, no. He says, you're going to be an example. And it stunk. It was one of the hardest things I ever did. So I want to encourage you today. Find humility. Don't worry about all this stuff that's going on. Don't worry about what seems to be right. Worry about what is right. Worry about what pleases God. You know, when I sounded the shofar coming out here, the call that I blew, it's called the tekiah. It's a sound for an awakening. That God would awaken the soul of everybody who hears. I haven't had that trumpet out. A shofar, forgive me, it's not a trumpet. I haven't had that shofar out in over 7 years. It used to be a ministry of mine. Last night God said, you're the sound of the shofar. Because today is the day the walls are coming down.
Amen.
Your Jericho.
Amen.
If you will humble yourself before God today, the walls that keep you from moving forward to where God wants you to be, so that our land can be restored, will come down today. That's why I sound the shofar. And as the worship team begins, here in a second, I'm going to sound one more call. And this call is the shivareen. It's the call for battle. It's the call. It's our marching orders. And I have seen God move through the faithful obedience of sounding the shofar. But I'm telling you right now, God wants to move in Ohio. God wants to move in Trumbull County. God wants to move in the United States of America. But God is only going to move if we allow the walls of pride to come down. God is only going to move if we allow the walls of our heart to be softened and say, Lord, forgive me. Here I am. Use me. God is only going to move if we get on our faces and we pray and we seek the face of God. God moves in those who seek to be moved. God is only going to move if you, as the church, if we get out of our comfort spots, if we get out of the walls of our churches, if we get out of the walls of our homes, and we preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. That's what we're called to do, is preach Jesus. That is our job. That is who we are. So the prayers have gone out for walls to come down. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to fall on each and every person who is willing today, who is hungry enough to be empowered, to be filled, to feel the mighty movement of God in your life. But I want to tell you something today to prepare yourself, because when God invades you,
amen,
God is going to expect you to move.
Yes.
And God is going to take you places that you never thought you'd ever go.
Yes, Lord.
And see things that you never thought you'd see. But can I tell you something today? That the Word of God is truth. And that God is still alive. And the Holy Spirit still dwells in the spirit, the soul of every believer. And He still has the same power today that He had yesterday. So my question to you today, all through social media land, in every church of America, how hungry are you? How much are you ready to see the movement of God? Because today, if you're hungry, if you're starving, if you're thirsty, if you're tired of walking around in a desert where your mouth is gum and you're dying of thirst, God wants to fill you up today, and God wants to move, because I truly believe, as I stand here today, that America is where it's at today because God has allowed it to be there, because He's testing the hearts, He's testing the faithfulness of every born-again believer. The question today is, are you hungry?
Yes, hallelujah.
Or are you thirsty for the movement of God? And if you say yes today, and if you're humble enough to say, Lord, use me, then God is faithful. And I believe, I expect a movement of God in each and every person's life that steps forward and says today, God, use me. How do I know? How can I expect that? Because God's Word tells me it'll happen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come today again in your presence, Lord God, standing on your word, standing on the promises that you have given each and every child that is in the hearing of the voice. We pray today, Father God, that the walls of our Jericho today, through the sounding of the trumpet, through the shout of your people, that today, that those walls are coming down, brick by brick by brick. They are being chiseled away. They are falling down, and the children of God are starting to see the vision, the promised land that is on the other side. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask today that your Holy Spirit would just invade the lives of each and every person today that says, Lord, that's me. Use me. And Father, I pray that today that the churches of America, that they would be prompted today by the Holy Spirit, that they would not cower. They would not cower to the lies that are bespoken from the enemy, but they would stand on your word. Because it's your word that's truth. It's you that we have to answer to. It's you that we have to please, not man. So Father, let your Holy Spirit ignite a fire in each and every person today. Father, I pray over the churches of California right now who have been told that they can't have church no more. They've been told that they can't even sing no more. I pray, Father God, that through your Spirit, that they give the holy boldness to fear you and not man. I pray that in our quiet time, Father, that you would lead us to spend more time on our knees, on our faces, humbling ourselves before you and crying out to you, Father God. Allow our voices to be heard. Allow our voices to penetrate the clouds into heaven, Father God. Lord, that you would hear our cries. And those things that we call here on earth would be as they are as in heaven, as this day, as we stand before you in your promise. Father, we look for revival in our land. We know the days are drawing near. We see that the time is so close. Father, let your children rise up to be the light, the lamp, in a nation that is filled with darkness. In Jesus' name. And I pray over the pastors who get to pray every week with the President of the United States. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for boldness to fall upon them. Lord, that they would speak your word, that they would encourage him, that as long as he follows your direction and brings honor and glory to you, let them have boldness today to not only go in there and pray, but to have the boldness of a lion, to raise him up as a warrior for you, Father God. As a spiritual warrior, we pray for him, President Trump. We pray for wisdom, encouragement, and discernment. As the enemy, the devil, wants nothing to do but to tear down our country, raise him up, Father God, to restore the land that you have given us, the land of promise, the land of hope. In Jesus' name, Father, we come to you today humble and say, Lord, we can do nothing on our own. But you, Father God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you, and nothing is impossible for the church that you empower to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I want to encourage you, if you're out there today, prayer. Pastor Steve and I are up here. Some of the elders. If you need prayer today, let us lay hands on you. Let us pray with you. Whatever it is. Because you know what? Today I'm standing on the promises of God. And I know that God wants to move in every one of our hearts. Every one of our lives. If you got somebody in your family that really needs prayer. If you need prayer, don't hesitate. Because my God is a mighty God. Ain't that right, Pastor Steve?
Amen.
He's good. Amen. So I'm going to let the worship team close out. I will be sounding the alarm. And if you're here today and you're that child of God that said, that's me, these are our marching orders. I'm releasing the army of God today to go to battle, spiritual battle. Amen. God bless you.